Tim, Prince Philip's given up his royal duties at the age of 95, I say. Well done to him. Served the UK and the Commonwealth well. But yesterday, the story seemed much larger than that, and both you and I were among many people within the media that had to cover what seemed to be a really big royal event, but in the end, not so much. It was a real challenge, wasn't it?
I haven't been in the news game all that long. I'm not a, true blue veteran, but yes, that day when this Prince Philip debacle unfolded, it was a weird one like nothing I've ever seen before. It seemed to me to be a really watershed moment where the internet just ran smack bang into an organisation that is not perhaps not up to cutting edge modern day kind of press style.
If you were living under a rock, there was much speculation that, first of all, was it the Queen, was it Prince Philip that had actually passed away because of a meeting held of all staff members of Buckingham Palace? So a lot of speculation going around about the death of one of the royal family, and it ended up just being about him dropping duties, which is fair enough.
Safe to say it got wildly out of control. And I want to just backtrack a little bit just to go through the timeline about how I believe this happened, because okay. I was trying to watch it very closely, because this was something that we had to keep our eyes on. The first report came out from a UK online news source, the Daily Mail, that an emergency sort of household meeting of all the Queen's staff had been called. A couple of weird things was that the call out went out at 3 a.m. London time.
Very early.
Seemed like a strange time to call a meeting. And then in the same story, someone had said, and this is part of the problem, it's always someone or a source or a report, but someone had said that this was highly unusual, became basically the kind of pull quote that spurred a lot of this stuff on. So we've got a highly unusual meeting called at 3 a.m. And that was pretty much it. That was basically it. And really, so far, so good. That is pretty much all by the book. No real dramas there. But it was enough to trigger worldwide panic / speculation that maybe the Queen, probably Prince Philip, one of them, was dead.
Two things. 3 a.m., very unusual. Set up a whole chain of events. That's amazing, isn't it? I guess part of the pressure for me was I didn't want to miss out. I didn't want to be the last news service to cover it. And you feel like if certain people are covering it, it must be true. But everyone learns a lesson. You've got to hold fire until you've got some information that you feel is right on the money.
The next step after the initial story bumped this into the next level was all of a sudden, quote unquote, French media was reporting that Prince Philip was dead. So wow, okay, that sounds like big, like really big news. This has got really serious all of a sudden. Except if you actually tried to find the French media reports, I don't think they existed. I personally never found them. And it seemed like this was just... I'm still not even sure exactly where that came from, but the French media reported, supposedly, and then that was enough. Lots of outlets were running with that. And the unfortunate thing about... I can really only talk about the internet, but specifically the way the internet works is any report or whisper can be run as news, because all of a sudden every single outlet distanced themselves from the actual news by saying, well, there's a report about this, so, you know, we're not saying it, but we're just letting you know there is a report, which, you know, a little down the way down the track we realized there was no such report at all. But in the meantime, the outlets who have published that have racked up a ton of traffic, an absolute bundle of traffic. Everyone flocking to these stories, click, 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 this, which is what the internet is about. By the time it unfolds that the report never existed, depending on how scrupulous or how the scruples of some of these outlets, by then, They don't really care. Like, we've got our traffic. We can clarify later on. We've cashed in, so it doesn't really matter. And that's where things get a bit grey. And I think a few checks and balances on the intersection of news and the internet is probably called for.
On the ground, there were actually reporters converging on Buckingham Palace, all based on what seemed to be fairly flimsy information from where we are, way back in Adelaide, where it's nowhere near it, and yet people there in the UK going to Buckingham Palace. It was just an amazing event. The thing you said earlier about Buckingham Palace needing to upgrade their social media and being more aware is part of it. They're above it. They feel like they're above needing to brief us on every little gossip and
yeah, probably. And to be honest, I don't really blame them. I didn't mean to suggest before that I should be giving advice how the palace operate. I don't really see a major problem with what they do, but it's just interesting to see this bit of disconnect between someone or an entity that doesn't really feel like they need to jump at the internet's beck and call. And I think fair enough.
You're right. They should have probably inform people, but
well, they could,
but
they,
we were all dancing at shadows, so what were we doing? We were just,
well,
until
sudden,
they say something.
The jumping at shadows thing is fascinating because this, I guess that's a bit of human nature there. All of a sudden, as soon as you hear something seems credible. Prince Philip is quite old, hasn't been in the best of health. All of a sudden, well, yeah, no, he could have. I mean, that sounds feasible that he's died. All of a sudden, there are reports that flags were at half mast. That was never actually the case. Reputable journalist. I don't know if I should drop the name.
Yeah, go on.
But Paul Bongiorno, who is a respected Australian
journalist.
Yeah, absolutely. And again, this is on social media. He tweeted that there had been a death at the palace, which, you know, unfortunately for him, turned out to be not true at all.
Have you noticed? Has he withdrawn that tweet? You know, we'll have to go have a look.
Haven't checked that.
Yeah.
The Australian's Chris Kenny, when the news came out that Buckingham Palace was going to make a statement or a meeting being called, he tweeted that this will be major. And, you know, you could argue that it probably was, but not in the way that everyone sort of thought in the moment.
In terms of royal stories, a 95-year-old Prince Philip saying, I've had enough of going and having cucumber sandwiches and small talk, is probably about 150 on the list, you reckon?
Yeah, not that major. Not that major, really. But perhaps the today, perhaps the folks with the reddest face would be the Sun in the UK. The Sun website had done up, I guess in preparation, a story or basically sketched out a potential story in the event that Prince Philip had died,
yes,
which wasn't even completed. It was sort of along the lines of Prince Philip has died, etc., etc., which was actually included in the story that presumably accidentally got published. It wasn't even completed. And they removed it, but too late. Lots of screenshots taken. Everyone's seen it. That is probably the most embarrassing. Although you might have caught Tracy Grimshaw's...
Tell me about that again.
The news, the actual news that Prince Philip was stepping down or is due to be stepping down from his responsibilities happened during the broadcast of A Current Affair.
Yes, A Current Affair, yep.
And was being told through her earpiece by a producer exactly what was happening. She was in the middle of an interview with someone who was on the spot in London. It was all happening. This was where the rubber hit the road. This was the moment when we actually found out exactly what had happened. She's getting told what's going on. She's trying to do an interview at the same time. What ended up coming out of her mouth was that the Queen had stood down from all her royal
responsibilities. Much higher than Prince Philip.
A much bigger story. and she, you could, I just saw the replay of it. And watching her say it, she's relying on what's being told in her ear. And you can kind of tell that she wasn't completely sure that what she was being told was accurate, but she had to go with it, and it was very quickly clarified that no, it's Prince Philip.
For those listening to this podcast, Tim just mimed holding an earpiece to his ear as she's getting the information. Did she do that? Because that was the saving. Knows. That would have been the saving grace, wouldn't it? I'm being told.
Yeah. As soon as you press your finger to your ear, then you have relinquished all responsibility. Everyone knows then you've just given the signal that what I'm saying now is coming from someone else.
I won't call it a learning experience, but it's definitely a reminder to me to hold, to make sure there is some information I can hang my hat on before I sort of publish anything. But it's so tempting. It's so much pressure to do it, but a big experience for the whole media, I guess. Just on a side from this story, imagine being Prince Philip and everyone just writing you off. I guess at 95, you're pretty philosophical about your life and when it's going to end. But
yeah, and of all people that it could have happened to, he would probably be one who would find it pretty funny.
Yeah, yeah. But yeah, I guess every time he nods off in his chair, people are taking a collective breath to make sure he's waking up again.
Every time he just sleeps in, there's panic through the household. Marcus, lots of options out there for folks wanting to buy pets. Lots of families like a pet. Like,
yeah, absolutely.
You've got to take into account the level of risk that the pet might pose to you and your family, especially if you have kids.
I'm thinking you're talking killer dogs and scratching cats.
Yeah, there's snakes. There are some pets that are more dangerous than others.
Yeah.
I wouldn't want a wolverine, probably.
Nah. Imagine the meat bill that you each week.
Through the roof.
Yeah.
Through the roof. But this week in Adelaide, we discovered an unlikely pet that turned out to be very dangerous.
Now, is this a actual pet or a living, breathing animal?
Real. It's a real
life thing. It's real.
Yeah.
I think I know where you're going, but amuse me, Tim.
Fish.
Fish.
Oh. Not the one you think of when you think of world's most dangerous pets.
No. Piranhas?
Well, not even piranhas. And in truth, not even the actual fish. What this unfortunate family was struck down by was the kind of noxious chemicals released from cleaning the coral in the fish tank.
Wow. Coral. Such
mm-hmm. The silent killer.
The silent killer. It's such a nice name. It's like an old lady's name, Coral. But today, Coral was near deadly.
Not actually that nice, though. You can't touch coral. If you ever go diving on the reef or something, they'll tell you never touch it.
Yeah.
If you just brush up against it, it tears your skin to shreds.
And it's bad for the coral, like the acids on your hands and feet, I think, as well.
Bad? You were taking the corals?
Yeah. I'm sorry. I'm sort of just switching, aren't I? One minute I'm slamming coral. Next, I'm like, back off.
Eco-warrior.
Give coral space.
Yeah, well, I didn't realise that a fish tank could be so dangerous, but cleaning the coral and this unfortunate family had a breakout contained to their house, but they ended up in hospital. It was a serious situation. I wonder if sales of fish plummet on the back of this.
Oh, I don't know. I think it makes it more exciting, Tim. This was down at Aldinga Beach, a long way away for a cruise to get down there, but I suppose something exciting for the CFS volunteers as well, or CFS workers to get into their hazmat suits and wash it all away.
I would have thought maybe the folks down at Aldinga might be a little more across the the potential dangers of coral than maybe your more inland dwellers.
Yeah, maybe. What are your thoughts on fish? I enjoy them, but as an adult, I realise the responsibility of cleaning a tank. It just doesn't appeal to me that much.
I love the look of a fish tank.
Yeah.
It's pretty impressive when you walk in somewhere, big crystal clear tank, lots of fish swimming around. Looks great. My first ever pet was a fish.
Wow. Yep.
I'm surprised it didn't kill me, but this one was pretty, and there was no coral, so
okay.
That was probably what saved me.
You know, as a kid, the thing I loved the most when I saw someone with an impressive aquarium was actually the filter toys. Like, was it a deep sea diver with one of the old style masks, or was it a clamshell opening up with the bubbles
filter?
Coming out?
I don't even know. You're talking about the filter?
Oh, I thought the toys were sort of surrounded about, so a filter would open up and let the bubbles out. Is that a filter? No, it's more a...
You know a lot more about it than I do.
No. We've got a workmate that's totally into aquariums.
Beyond expert.
Yeah, he seems to be a bit quiet today. Normally he's very up and about fishing, yeah, Grimps, but
after hearing the this really quite dramatic story of the family hospitalised overnight, he very quickly wanted to check to make sure, were the fish okay?
He did. That was his first question. As a newsman, the thing I sort of love, I get a bit of a laugh out of it, was once a story like this happens, we go, where can we get other angles from? And we went to the University of Adelaide and we actually found a coral guy, and he explained it. So he's normally just sitting away in his little office, never gets any media attention, and then once in every 10 years something happens, quick, where's that coral expert? And we call him up and we hang off every word, and then we say, see you later, and we'll see you in another 10 years.
He'll be back at his desk tomorrow. Jeez, it's a quiet one this morning.
It's a bit like our earth, this is totally off topic, a bit like our earthquake expert. Occasionally, how often do you reckon Adelaide will have a little bit of a tremor? Once a year?
Yeah, about that.
Yeah, we madly become friends with him each and every time there's a tiny little tremor in Adelaide. What happened? How do we know? Is the big one coming? But no, it never comes. Sport, I love sport, but you've picked up a story I wasn't aware of from, I think, overnight. Tell us about it.
Well, I haven't followed the NBA, which is the massive American basketball league. I haven't followed it since Michael Jordan retired, which was 1807. So my finger is not on the pulse of the NBA, which puts me behind the eight ball, because many, many people are deeply involved in it, very obsessed with it. There's only really one probably NBA player I know the name of anymore, and it's LeBron James.
Big LeBron, yep.
Mm-hmm. King James?
Yeah.
Good. Terminology. And good. This, you know, he's the only one I know. And he is in the news today in a sort of viral style story. Because, and this was a great headline, he grabbed a beer in the middle of a game.
Well, did it help his game? I don't know.
I think when you're as good as him, maybe you can just booze during the game and it doesn't really matter. They give you a pretty long leash. The more important you are, the better you are, the more you can get away with.
Did he take the whole beer? Tell us about
it. He took the whole beer, raised it to his mouth. He's going to drink it. And then he just didn't drink it.
You know what? I love American sports in that it's sort of what I hate about America is how, you know, big time they are and everything's, you know, wow. But I like that sports people over there are massive, big deals. They're heroes and they don't hide it. They like to be.
They embrace it.
They embrace being the big time, the big show.
The big show, yeah.
Glenn Maxwell, the cricketer, a bit reluctant to be the big show.
Yeah, he tried to shirk the nickname.
These guys love it. So when he takes a sip of the beer, I'm imagining the crowd just went wild.
I think they did. I went wild just watching the replay of the video because I thought it was a cool thing. But there's basically people going around these courts, on the court, delivering beer to people. That's also quite remarkable.
Yeah, I think they do a bit of that in Adelaide as well.
But within reach of players?
No, not within reach of players. No, that must be slightly closer than Adelaide Arena.
You think someone else will try it? Well, you could do it almost at the football. A football player who's up against the fence, taking a kick from the boundary line, could feasibly reach over the fence and grab a spectator's beer. That could happen.
Now, we've touched on this before in previous podcasts, and it was something that you've probably got my eye out for, is sort of really clever advertising and promotions. Whether you could make it look like it's just a spontaneous act, but have someone on the boundary with a certain product. The play, they say, if you head towards the boundary and you're over this way and you see a bottle coming away, just pick it up. So much airtime.
I ran this one through my stunt filter.
Okay.
Because it 100% feels like a stunt because it's gone viral and it's a really shareable little video moment. But I don't think it could be, because one thing a celebrity or a sports person won't do is, I don't think they would ever mess with their actual on-field performance.
Yes.
For the sake of boosting their profile. I don't think you could choreograph to have the beer incident really, mine's going to be too far off the game. It had to be spontaneous, I think. Unless this is next generation, new level dark art stuff that we're starting to see.
Nah, it was great. A bit of difference in what's, a fantastic game. But just to see a player break the mold for a little second, good fun.
Long live the king.
The family of a young Moana woman arrested on drugs charges in Colombia say she's living a nightmare after being set up and used as bait by traffickers. 22-year-old personal trainer Cassie Sainsbury is facing up to 25 years in jail for allegedly carrying nearly 6 kilograms of cocaine concealed in 15 boxes of headphones inside her suitcase as she tried to fly home from Bogota last month. Tim, it's a pretty scary situation when Australians get caught up and fall foul of the law in other countries. What are your thoughts on it?
Well, I don't personally really want to speculate about whether she might be innocent or not of doing this drug trafficking. What I will say is, what I will do is,
yes,
I'll report on the online sentiment regarding whether she's innocent or guilty.
Right.
Because that's what you immediately think. These stories happen and you think, well, God, like, did she actually do it? I guess it changes it a little bit. If someone has intentionally packed themselves up as a drug mule to, you know, make some cash, well, that's one situation. If someone has been, like, genuinely tricked into doing this, well, then that's a different situation. So you immediately want to get to the bottom of it. Like, did she know what she was doing or not? And all I can say is, based on the comment that you might see online, oh geez, I reckon it's running at about 99% would say they think she's guilty.
Wow. Okay. To me, I like to look at the overall picture of a person. She was a personal trainer. Sounds like she had some good family bonds there. We've heard her mum and her daughter speak on first impressions, and this is all based on impressions and images. They don't seem like a feral family.
Yeah.
And she was getting married. She was buying presents for her bridesmaids, which seems like a logical thing to do. So, yeah, I'm surprised everyone's so on top of her thinking she's guilty.
Well, the getting married part could almost be a reason why maybe she has gone down this avenue.
Yeah, have you ever had a wedding bill? Yes.
Have you ever had a wedding bill? And that's one of the biggest expenses young people will face these days. So maybe she just wanted to, you know, skim a little off the bill where she could. Her case in the public eye seems to fall down in two spots.
Okay.
One is no one goes to Colombia to do marketing work.
And headphone shopping.
And yeah, well, and then the second point is no one would feel like there wasn't something amiss when the headphones she was transporting weighed, I think it's like they were almost 6 kilos.
Yeah, that wasn't logical. There's some heavy headphones.
So there's some questions to be answered. And, you know, all you can hope is that she will get the chance to answer them. What always comes up in these stories is the Australian legal system is not the legal system that's used everywhere. And just because here, I guess, by and large, people do get their day in court to tell their side of the story, hopefully, if they've been wrongly accused, you get the chance to explain that. That's not necessarily guaranteed in other parts of the world, and I guess Colombia is kind of one of those ones. It's a bit exotic. Like, no one really knows. Well, I certainly don't know what's going on over there. You hear a lot of sus stuff about it. Cocaine capital of the world, I believe, or was.
That's where you'd get it if you wanted to.
If you wanted to get it, that's
if you are a great Colombian.
You seem to know a lot about it, Marcus.
I know nothing. I guess it brings back memories of Chappelle Corby. My feelings initially with Chappelle Corby, jailed for smuggling marijuana.
The old
in the boogie board. Yeah, I feel like Aussies were behind her, feeling that maybe, or at least divided on whether she was guilty or not. But from what you're saying at this early stage, everyone's...
Everyone might be cynical after... Chappelle might have been the first one, or it's certainly within sort of recent... You know, Chappelle was, maybe 15 years ago, but within relatively recent memory, she might have been the first one. And that sort of story kind of opened the eyes of normal people to, whoa, this stuff goes on, like, and has she been deceived? Or she was either deceived, tricked into, like, a very seedy underworld that's been operating, like, underneath our own noses. She was in the thick of it, and this kind of stuff is, you know, goes on and apparently fairly regularly.
If you bought something, I guess we're just speculating in general again, if you bought something, someone's done a favour for you, you've ordered something overseas, they've given you this big pack, all sort of sealed up, would you open it up, see, yep, these are the right headphones that I've bought, or these are the right products I've bought?
Well, it's a no-brainer asking it here and now, but what gets lost in these stories is that human element of bumping into someone, you're traveling, you like to think the best of everyone, you're trying to always make friends when you're traveling, make connections, buddy up, you trust people, you know, probably if these are bad dudes, you know, trying to pull the wool over people's eyes, I'm sure they're really persuasive, really probably charming, like, and we can't understand that situation. We'd like to think, well, we would never fall for such an obvious thing, but they're in the moment, so far away, maybe trying to save some bucks, make some friends. You just don't know what kind of human pressures you end up feeling. But yeah, it's a fair question. You'd like to think, well, no, you wouldn't fall for that. I mean, the first thing they ask you is, did you pack your own bag?
Yeah, well, that's it. Well, our thoughts with Cassie Sainsbury's family, at least, they'd be going through the ringer at the moment. And I guess we've got to wait till the courts actually decide what's the situation there. Tim, being the web guy of this partnership, you've been searching the web. What sort of, just on a different topic now, what are some of the things that have caught your attention?
Shooting up the most read lists of the internet today. An interesting story about the new social media phenomenon. I don't know how new it is, but, you know, it's hitting mainstream now, I guess. It's probably been around for a while.
This is good. You're telling me now, because generally these online trends, I'll pick up in about 3 years, so I'm on the money. Tell us about it.
Well, the thing you do now is you visit a really nice part of the world and you basically take a picture of yourself flashing your bum at that location. So you and I would really, I guess, know this as mooning.
Yes.
I think they're called belfies. I guess it's a photo taken of your butt. And yeah, it seems to be quite the thing to do at the moment. You will notice, though, that only a pretty specific sort of traveller taking part in this activity.
Have you seen some of the shots? Are they artistic, or is it just a full-on back of a...
It's literally just an iconic tourist location with someone facing away from the camera with their ass hanging out.
Oh. Yeah, that's
But you'll notice that, you know, everyone who's doing this is in fairly decent shape. There's not too many morbidly obese folk getting around doing this one. And this has been one of the criticisms of the crazy
just one of the criticisms, yep.
That if you're young and fit and you do this, it's all, you know, fun and games. If you're an old wrinkly guy in a trench coat and you do it, it's illegal.
Wow. So has anyone been condemned from putting up a picture of their bum that is a little bit out of shape? Or?
I haven't researched it too deeply.
Mainly people with pride in their bum.
Yeah.
Tight tush group.
An exclusive group, that one. But interested to know here, Mark's later, if this is one you think you might get on board with. But it reminds me of the Malaysian Grand Prix guys, remember?
Oh, yes.
They were just in their actual undies. So probably not even as bad as what this is. Just had their in their undies. And I think they were momentarily jailed. It was a bit of a hairy spot for them there for a moment. But
hairy bum spot, yeah.
Yeah, no, that bad choice of words there.
So tell us a bit about some of the... Where have they been seen? What parts of the world are these bum shots? What are they called? Belfies.
Belfies, yeah. Oh, everywhere, I think. Not sure any Adelaide ones have popped up. Maybe they have.
You know, Eiffel Tower next, or that far abroad? Or
I don't remember seeing Eiffel Tower. Again, it sounds like you're probably going to dig into this story maybe a little deeper.
So you knew this one would tickle my fancy, didn't you?
But, I guess the caveat, if you're wanting to get involved, is just double check the laws of the country that you're doing it in before you get too far into it, because you may find yourself...
I've actually seen one that's way more crass. Should we go there, or...?
By all means.
A very similar trend, but basically, only men can do this.
Okay.
And it's something appearing at the top of a picture, just dangling
right
at the top of the picture. So, miles, you know, iconic scenes from around the world, but
right. with the male member.
Not the member.
No.
Just the bottom of... if there's meat and two veg, okay. It's the two veg just okay. appearing at the top of your photo.
Oh, yeah, okay.
Horrible.
Well...
horrible.
That is in poor taste.
Nuts to do it.
That is... you got to have some real balls, though, to do it.
Anyway, well, let's hope that Belfi sensation is short.
Just keep your clothes
yeah,
on.
Yeah, keep your pants on. Just enjoy it.
Just put the phones away, even.
Agreed.